From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump on Friday morning made an announcement from the White House that he was declaring a national emergency to obtain the funds to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. The announcement came a day after the House and Senate voted to pass a government spending bill that included $1.375 billion in funding for fencing along 55 miles of the U.S.-Mexico border. Trump said he would sign the bill, even though he wasn't happy about it. Now, with his declaration of a national emergency at the border, he's testing the limits of congressional oversight. Democrats vowed to challenge the president. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi accused Trump of making an end run around Congress, while Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said it was a lawless act and a, quote, gross abuse of the power of the presidency. How unconstitutional is the president's declaration? Joining me to explore that question is Paul Seamus Ryan, Vice President of Policy and Litigation at Common Cause. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we knew this was coming down. Trump for months has been speculating that he would do this. But in the lead up to the emergency declaration on Friday, there was a bipartisan committee that had been put in charge of coming to an agreement that both the House and the Senate would like, that both Democrats and Republicans would like. In that agreement, as I mentioned, it was only $1.375 billion, and it was for a fence, not a wall, and it was only for part of the border. In doing his declaration of emergency, of an emergency, wasn't Trump essentially saying that he was going against what both the parties, had decided upon? Wasn't he also going against essentially what the Republican Party decided?
In a word, yes, he was. And the Constitution grants exclusive power of the purse to Congress. The president doesn't have the constitutional power to decide to spend money in ways that Congress has not approved. So there's definitely going to be litigation and other action, legislative action, in response to the president's declaration today. On Friday.
So Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, had said that he would be troubled by this declaration if it were to come to that. But then on Thursday, he said that he stood by the president. So that's at least one of the Republican leaders saying that they're fine with Trump making this national emergency declaration. At this point, is it up to the Democrats to challenge Trump?
The Democrats are going to need some help from some Republicans in the Senate. The next step on the legislative front is going to be a joint resolution to disapprove of this declaration of an emergency, to terminate the emergency. And it really follows the process that any law, any bill in Congress would have to follow. It needs a simple majority in the House, a simple majority in the Senate, and then would have to be signed by the president. So in order to get that simple majority in the Senate, some Republicans will have to join some Democrats. Then, of course, the president will undoubtedly veto that resolution if it passes both the House and the Senate, and it would be up to both chambers of Congress to override the president's veto. The other path here that I think we should anticipate is litigation, and I'm happy to discuss that a little bit too if it interests you.
Right. Before we go there, though, does Congress need to override the president's veto if it does succeed in passing a joint declaration?
Two-thirds. And I think that looks like a long shot. I don't know if there will be enough Republicans willing to put their country ahead of their party at this time of what really amounts to a constitutional crisis.
So essentially, unless enough Republicans, it would require significant numbers of Republicans to override a veto. It's not going to happen through the legislative avenue. But is it important for Democrats and a few Republicans who agree with them to go through that process anyway?
It's very important. I think the public has a right to know where members of Congress stand on what certainly looks, from my vantage point, like a violation of basic constitutional principles here. And this resolution would come out of a provision in the National Emergencies Act, and the Senate would have to vote on it. They cannot not vote on it. So this will be an opportunity to get Democrats and Republicans alike on the record with respect to where they stand in the president's abuse of power here.
I want to play an excerpt of what Nancy Pelosi said, House Speaker, on Thursday when it became clear that Trump was going to make his national emergency declaration. She sort of outlined how Trump, in her view, was making an, quote, in run around Congress.
It's important to note that when the president declares this emergency, first of all, it's not an emergency, what's happening at the border. It's a humanitarian challenge to us. The president has tried to sell a bill of goods to American people. But putting that aside, just in terms of the president making an end run around Congress. Here he said, let us respect what the committee will do, and then walks away from it. But in any event, the president is doing an end run about Congress, about the power of the purse. You've heard me say over and over again, Article 1, the legislative branch, the power of the purse, the power to declare war, many other powers listed in the Constitution, and of course, the responsibility to have oversight. So the president is doing an end run around that.
And that is Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, on Thursday. And following her, Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, said that Trump was essentially taking a lawless position.
Declaring a national emergency would be a lawless act, a gross abuse of the power of the presidency, and a desperate attempt to distract from the fact that President Trump broke his core promise to have Mexico pay for the wall. It would be another demonstration of President Trump's naked contempt for the rule of law and congressional authority.
And that is Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Paul, before we get into the litigation that could come out of this declaration by Trump, let me ask you this. Could what Trump is doing because of its unconstitutionality be considered an impeachable offense?
Yes, certainly it could. That's not something that Common Cause has not advocated that outcome. As of this point in time. But other organizations, government watchdogs, are already saying that, are saying this is, and for most of them that are already saying this, they're saying this is yet another impeachable offense that President Trump has committed, this abuse of power. So the definition of what is an impeachable offense is very flexible. It's an elastic concept in the law, so it could definitely accommodate this.
So let's look at the litigation. Already there are organizations, I know Public Citizen has said that it will sue. I don't know if Common Cause has also said that. But can Congress also sue the president over this?
There is some precedent for Congress to sue the president over budget-related activities. And the precedent, most recent precedent, is when a Republican-controlled Congress sued President Obama over President Obama's funding of the Affordable Care Act, the so-called Obamacare Act. And one of the issues litigated very early on in that case was whether Congress had standing, whether they could, in fact, bring this type of lawsuit. And a federal court said yes, that Congress was injured. It was harmed by a president that is going around Congress's power of the purse. In that case, this wasn't yet on the merits of how President Obama was funding the ACA, but the simple question was, can Congress sue the president? And the courts in that matter said yes. So it is possible for Congress to sue the president in a matter such as this.
So what other litigation can come out of this? And as far as you know, is already being announced. Can states also challenge this? I mean, if Trump is going to be dipping into emergency funding that has been set aside, say for Puerto Rico's rebuilding of Hurricane Maria, or Houston's rebuilding from Hurricane Harvey, or California's rebuilding from the wildfires, could those cities or states sue?
I think that's possible. The lawsuits that have already been announced are on behalf of property owners on the border whose land will be seized through the process of eminent domain to build this unnecessary border wall. So the Public Citizen, as you mentioned earlier, they've announced that they will be litigating. More specifically, they've announced they will be litigating on behalf of property owners. Those are people, individuals, owners that have been directly harmed by this seizure of their own land to build this wall. But I think that it may be possible for states to likewise prove that they are injured by this if funding they would otherwise receive for very much needed disaster recovery are diverted from that work to build this wall. And then again, Congress is another likely plaintiff in a separate type of lawsuit.
So as far as you know, where would Trump find the money? I mean, he got just about a quarter of the $5.7 billion that he said he wanted. So he's still missing about $4.3 billion. That's still quite a bit of money. One of the pots that he said he could take money from would be some military construction projects. He might sort of butt up against the Pentagon there or the Department of Defense.
Well, from what we can tell, he will be relying on a statute that's called the Military Construction Act, and it authorizes the Department of Defense to reallocate some appropriated funds to new construction projects, but only under very limited circumstances that, in my view, very clearly do not exist here. So what that law says is that if there is a national emergency that requires the use of the armed forces, that doesn't exist here, but that's step number one, a national emergency that requires the use of the armed forces, then it is permissible to initiate new construction projects that are, quote, necessary to support such use of armed forces, close quote. And any use of this statute by the president to build this wall would really turn that statute on its head. The statute isn't designed to simply fund any project a president wants and cloak it in military. Here, the military is prohibited by other laws from even enforcing these immigration laws, domestic laws here in the United States. So the military cannot do anything related to immigration enforcement law in the United States. So there's no emergency that necessitates the use of the armed forces in the first place. That means the law allowing construction projects doesn't apply here. But that's what it looks like President Trump will be trying to get away with.
Let's talk about what actually one constitutes a national emergency. So one issue, of course, is Congress's oversight on spending. But the other aspect is, so if the president is allowed to make these unilateral decisions on what's a national emergency, on what basis can he do so? And CNN's Jim Acosta challenged President Trump on the veracity of his wild claims about the border being so dangerous that it constituted a national emergency. And I want to play a little bit of that exchange before we get to the answer. Here is Jim Acosta speaking with Trump on Friday morning.
I wonder if you could comment on this disconnect that we seem to have in this country where you are presenting information about what's happening at the border, calling it an invasion, talking about women with duct tape over their mouths and so on. And yet there's a lot of reporting out there. There's a lot of crime data out there. There's a lot of Department of Homeland Security data out there that shows border crossings at a near record low. That shows undocumented immigrants committing crime at lower levels. That shows undocumented criminals or undocumented immigrants committing crime at lower levels than native-born Americans. What do you say to
you don't really believe that stat. Do you really believe that stat? Take a look at our federal prisons.
I believe in facts and statistics and data.
Okay, any more? Quick, let's go.
Let me just ask you this. What do you say to your critics who say that you are creating a national emergency, that you're concocting a national emergency here in order to get your wall because you couldn't get it through other ways?
What do you think? Do you think I'm creating something? Ask these incredible women who lost their daughters and their sons. Okay? Because your question is a very political question, because you have an agenda. You're CNN. You're fake news. You have an agenda. The numbers that you gave are wrong.
And that is President Trump on Friday during the question and answer period after he announced his national emergency declaration, which, by the way, was a bizarrely rambling declaration. He showed up late to his own announcement and then began by talking about China and spent many, many minutes before he even got to the point of declaring the national emergency. Didn't seem to be very scripted. And then this was his exchange with CNN's Jim Acosta. Paul, he basically just seemed to dismiss facts, saying CNN was fake news. But shouldn't the definition of a national emergency actually meet a factual standard?
Well, there are a couple of really fascinating aspects of the exchange with Jim Acosta. Jim Acosta was relying on data produced by the federal government, by Trump's own branch of the federal government.
Right. It wasn't something CNN just made up.
Right. Yeah, these weren't CNN facts. These were facts from the DEA, for example, from the Department of Homeland Security. These were federal government produced factual data that the president himself is at odds with, which is remarkable and very, very odd. In terms of creating factual standards in under circumstances under which a national emergency could be declared, that seems to be like it would be rather difficult to put in a statute because there can be such a wide array of facts and circumstances that do give rise to a declaration of a legitimate declaration of a national emergency. But I'll tell you one change that Congress could make to the law that allows the declaration of national emergencies. They could amend the law so that a declaration of national emergency sunsets without congressional action, sunsets in a designated number of days, 15 days, 30 days, 3 months, rather than a national emergency which under the law today can go on forever. It can go on in perpetuity. And because there is a divided Congress, divided control of Congress, and Republicans perhaps unwilling to stand up to this president, it might be tough for Congress through legislative action to check the president's declaration here. But that could be changed through a sunset clause being put into the National Emergencies Act.
So this would apply to all national emergencies then, not just this specific one?
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning that there was a check built into the National Emergencies Act, a much lower bar that would have allowed Congress to check the president, but the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. So back in the mid-70s, when this law was originally enacted, and it was enacted in the wake of Watergate as a check on presidential abuses of power, Congress could have terminated a declaration of national emergency by a simple majority vote. The Supreme Court, however, declared that to be unconstitutional and instead said Congress had to go through the legislative process laid out in the Constitution. Simple majority vote, that goes to the president. If the president vetoes, then you have to meet the much higher threshold of a two-thirds majority to override the veto. So there was a congressional veto, so to speak, in the original legislation. It was struck down by the Supreme Court. We need to amend the National Emergencies Act, though, to reinvigorate or re-strengthen congressional oversight in these matters.
Now, I'm wondering if you think that the Democratic threat of precedent could potentially cause some Republicans to back down. Nancy Pelosi and others have said, all right, well, if this constitutes a national emergency and you can simply allocate funds on your own, a future Democratic president could very easily declare a national emergency on something quite real, based in facts, such as the thousands and thousands of people that are killed every year from gun violence. And of course, Republicans probably hate that idea. I don't know if a Democratic president would actually go that far, but I'm wondering what your opinion is on that avenue.
Well, I certainly hope that there are Republicans in the Senate and in the House, for that matter, that will take that into consideration. But there are so many legitimate grounds upon which to oppose this particular declaration of a national emergency that, yeah, throw that one into the mix. Future Democratic presidents might abuse this power just as President Trump is, but it's one among many reasons to oppose this action by the president.
Unfortunately, the Republican Party doesn't seem to care very much about applying the same standards to themselves compared to their opposition party, as we've seen, you know, for example, with the Supreme Court. Could a case around this eventually end up at the Supreme Court? And actually, even before that, let me ask you, the inevitable litigation from this is likely to drag on for a little while. And I'm wondering if Trump can simply sort of declare that he has made a political victory in making this national emergency declaration, but still in the end not get his border wall funding, because it may end up at the Supreme Court and he may be thwarted at the Supreme Court.
The latter is certainly possible. That's probably what's going on in President Trump's mind. He is already declaring victory. He declares victory for everything he does, win or lose. So yes, I predict, and as you have, that he'll likely do that, even if he ends up losing one or more lawsuits in court, even if Republicans decide to stand up to him and override any veto that would end for a resolution ending the national emergency. He'll probably tell his base that he won, he did everything he could do, and he won as he always does.
I was mentioning the issue of gun violence. Other people have even suggested climate change, which, you know, both gun violence and climate change, very real emergencies that unfortunately Congress and the White House have done very, very little to actually thwart. Mick Mulvaney, acting White House chief of staff, responded to this approach, saying this is authority given to the president in law already. It's not as if he didn't get what he wanted and then waved a magic wand to get some money. Paul, essentially, that is what he did, right? He simply said, oh, I didn't get what I wanted. I'm just going to announce that it's now a national emergency, sign the paperwork, and try to get what I want.
That's exactly what President Trump has done. And it's time for Congress, Republicans and Democrats alike, to stand up to this president, for Republicans to put country before party, and to stop this abuse of power by the president.
And it's what's really interesting, it's not as if the Democrats are saying open borders, which is, of course, what the Republicans claim the Democrats are saying. Unfortunately, immigrant rights groups have felt that the Democrats sold them out and their rights out too far in even the modest spending bill that was signed, because $1.375 billion for a border fence for 55 miles of the border is part of it. And then there's $20+ billion in so-called border security, including surveillance, which many have said could violate people's human rights and other rights. All of this the Democrats have handed to the president. But he, because he didn't get the very specific thing that he wanted, seems to have said that that's not good enough. I mean, in many ways, the Democrats and the Republicans are sadly on the same page when it comes to immigration enforcement, aren't they?
Yeah, they seem to be. And that's beyond my expertise. I'm not an expert on immigration law and policy or border security, nor does Common Cause take position on those issues. I certainly have strong personal opinions, but what I am an expert on, what Common Cause is an expert on, is how government's supposed to work. And this is an abuse of power. This is an unconstitutional assertion of power by the president. That's why Common Cause is weighing in and objecting here.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for Common Cause.
We're at www.commoncause.org.
Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Seamus Ryan is Vice President of Policy and Litigation at Common Cause. We've been discussing just how unconstitutional Trump's national emergency declaration is. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.